Hey ho, everybody. Welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm not Ned Flanders, so I'm not sure why I said that. But anyway, I'm Matt. This is Liz and Joe, and it's the Blizzard Watch podcast. We're going to talk about stuff. For example,
you know there's a Ned Flanders heavy metal band called Oakley Doakley, right?
No, but I'm not surprised either.
It is amazing.
But we got two things to talk about for Hearthstone that I figured we'd throw into first because I find that amusing. The first up is the Hearthstone anniversary stuff is still going on. I think it turned 10 years old on Monday.
On Monday, yes. Yeah. The game is 10 years old, which sounds... It feels like it's been here for a lot less time and also a lot more time. It feels like kind of a fixture, and I guess at 10 years it is a fixture. But the in-game legendary quest line, still there. You can get in there, earn your gift cards, and earn your birthday coin right now. But it's also kind of spilled over into World of Warcraft.
Yeah, so there's there's an event for Transmog stuff. Are you, Transmog.
Yes. So there is a new in-game event that... Joe, have you done it yet? Because I haven't actually logged on and done it yet. It just went live this afternoon.
I have not logged into the game at all today, aside from like I got my loot vault stuff and then took a nap. So sorry.
Yeah, I mean that does sound pretty good. That does sound pretty good. I had a thing up for this and now I can't find it.
That's what happens, guys.
We're doing great here. So there is an in-game event in World of Warcraft right now. Happens every hour on the hour in Stormwind, Orgrimmar, I think just outside of Orgrimmar. And in Veldraken, you get to... It was bugged earlier, but if you're just logging on now, like me and Joe, it should be good. And there is a lot of transmog to collect. Which is, of course, all that I care about, but I haven't had a chance.
Apparently, a mount, a toy, some fancy hats, and a 36-slot bag.
The mount is really cool. It's like a Hearthstone coin, but it's a disc. I really like disc mounts because it's like they don't take up much space. There are so many like great-looking mounts in the game that look amazing and are so elaborate, have such great details. But like if you're wandering around a city, they're gigantic. They block everything. They block other players. So these little disc mounts are pretty cool. There is a tabard. There's a Sarge pet, which is a little white rat. There is a Reno's lucky hat. So you can get Reno's classic kind of brown fedora. Man, this is so great. This is great. I'm so excited to go and get all of these things.
That's very cool. Also, next week, I guess, because the 11th was the Hearthstone anniversary, on the 19th, which is like 8 days later, we're going to get Whizbang's Workshop, the Hearthstone expansion. So that's, yeah, next week.
Yeah,
so point, the less expansion. Next week, right? Yeah, at this point, it's literally going to be next Tuesday.
Yes, next week the expansion goes live, Whizbang's Workshop. The typical set of new cards, new rewards track. I do not personally play a lot of constructed Hearthstone, so these expansions are really big for constructed, but it's the usual. It's got a really cool theme, and whenever I see such cool themed Hearthstone games, I just always want to go and be like, I want more story content, because Hearthstone used to do some really fun stories. And now they just come out with expansions that have these awesome themes, but they don't push the story beyond that. And a lot of games are like that these days, where they have, you know, skins or events that kind of suggest a story, but they never tell the story. I always want the narrative. I want it. But so I'm always kind of excited about expansions, but also a little disappointed because they don't go all the way. They don't give us any more single player content in Hearthstone.
And that's fair. I think they should probably be doing more. They used to have the cool, like, you'd go in and you'd do, like, a dungeon-type experience. Like, I remember the Lich King dungeon one.
Yeah. The dungeon run. And they had some really cool stories. And, like, it was a unique way to tell a story, to do it in a Hearthstone match.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. That was, like, the main thing when I did play it at all, it was the stuff I liked. But now that we've talked about that... We should talk about another thing because we don't have no idea what's going on with it. So it's ripe for us to speculate. While patch 10.2.6, we still don't really know much about it. We don't know when it's coming out, although our guess on the site is, I believe it was March 19th.
The 19th, which would be next week, but Blizzard still hasn't announced anything.
Yeah, and, of course, and with the Hearthstone expansion next week.
Now that I've said that, they're going to like announce it tomorrow morning. That's just how it's
going. They might be announcing it right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're going to announce it either while we're on the show or directly after the show. That's how this works.
Yeah. But for right now, that we're still guessing for the 19th. We don't really know what it's going to be, but it's got to come out. If it's not coming out next week, it's got to be the week after.
Yeah, right? Because they have said it's going to be released in March. It's about the only thing they've said about it. And so we're running out of time in March. There was a really long 8-hour maintenance today. And there was some speculation that they were just going to drop the expansion, the patch on us today without warning, which would have been a wild ride, but they did not. So, but maybe next week, maybe.
Yeah, I would have been surprised, but not shocked had they done that. I as much as they're trying to keep it under their hats to a degree, I can't imagine them just dumping a patch with no forewarning. If only because people like to know, okay, we're gonna have to shift gears now. So, but we'll see. Ultimately, we will find out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
But while we're talking about that, what do you guys think it's going to be? Like, we really have no idea. Still, we don't have any idea. Other than that, like, one little thing of it being like a Jolly Roger flag on the world, the roadmap for 2024. So do either of you have any speculation, any ideas, any just hopes or dreams for it even at this point? Joe?
See, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'd be looking for at this time. I mean, I'd like something to be a bit of a larger event or something that takes up more time or at least a little bit of time to sort of fill the gap. We're at the part of the expansion that feels a little bit, I don't want to say weird, but it's like almost like a drawn out section of it, right? Where, at least for my guild, we've completed heroic. We're just farming for the legendary for people at this point. We're waiting for the faded raids to be available or whatever they're going to be called this time. I forgot. And like having something that can help occupy the time, because like all I've been doing right now is leveling alts, which is great, but you know, I like another reason for other people to log in. And I just hope it's a little bit stoppable force in chat says this, and I kind of agree. As long as it's better than the big dig, I'll take it. And yeah, I'm right there with you. So Liz, what about you?
You know, I'm hoping to be surprised. I mean, everyone's saying it's going to be the pirate patch because on the roadmap for this year, it's only indicated by a skull and crossbones. So being contrary as I am, I want it to not be a pirate patch. I want something that comes out of left field and surprises me. I don't want just, I would love to see something that's really unexpected. And One of the few comments Blizzard has made is that it's tied into something that players have seen and talked about before. And I don't think a pirate event is necessarily going to be it, but I don't know what it would be. It's just they've intentionally not given us anything on this patch because they want to surprise us. And I hope that works. I hope we get something. It's crazy to have something in WoW that hasn't been data mined to death, that you don't know everything about well before it releases. So I'm excited to see what they come up with.
I think it's going to be pumpkins.
Ghost pirates and pumpkins. We already talked about this.
No, ghost pirates, just pumpkin.
But the pumpkins will be the ghost pirates.
Ghost pumpkins. I mean, I don't want to be insensitive to people who've had their heads cut off and become a horrible specter of the night in early American folktales.
I can make it across the bridge in time. I'm not worried.
Yeah. I don't think you can. Oh, also, this has nothing to do with anything, but I'm going to throw it out there really fast. There's a news story up here about how the government of Canada is advising people now, if you see a bear, you really should not shove your slower friend to the ground and run. Like, they actually had to do this because someone did it. Someone finally tried to use their friend as a distraction to get away from a bear.
Oh.
Yeah. Which just, I don't know why pirates makes me think of that. But anyway, 10.2.6, we don't know anything except that we don't know anything. We know that we don't know. It's probably the best I can come up with in terms of what's happening. But regardless, there's two other pieces of news here that we could talk about. The first one is, apparently there's been some controversy about pricing on the Diablo 4 shop. And I'll be the first one to admit. Yeah, I'll be the first one to say this. As I've been playing a lot of Diablo 4 lately, the shop is baffling and maddening. I don't like it. It's very easily ignorable, but at the same time, it's also kind of, I don't know what word I would even use. It's like, it's not active enough to be predatory, but like, just like a giant sloth doesn't move very fast, but they were very dangerous. If you got too close to them, they would crush you. I find myself constantly going here and just gawking at these various like weapon deals and like stuff going, I don't need this. Why am I looking at it so much? Why do I keep going back and looking at it again? Why can't I stop? And
because they make it very easy to click on it accidentally in the UI.
Yeah, but I'm not clicking on it accidentally. I'm going there on purpose. I'm going to look at all the things that I don't need, know I don't need, know I shouldn't be looking at, because I have no business spending any more money on this than I did when I bought it. And it's like, but regardless, yeah. So I already have kind of a weird relationship with the shop. I'm going to get out of the shop now. But the idea that, I guess people were anticipating that a price raise was coming in, or new stuff coming in was going to be expensive.
Well, there was a post on the forums where someone thought that prices had been kind of quietly increased across the board. And
in MXT specifically.
PezRadar came in and said, no, there have not been any price increases to existing items. But the product team has been hearing feedback, and there may be more discounted items available in the coming weeks or months. So, I mean, the problem with the store is, one, it feels like a lot of time is going into developing things for the store. It has constant streams of new transmog looks, new mounts. You can currently buy a horse for $65. You can buy a portal pack, which is a bunch of differently colored town portals for $30, and those look so cool, I kind of want it, but $30? Come on, there's other things I could do with $30. PezRadar did specifically mention the portal pack, talking about this, but no details. It's just such a hard sell, these microtransactions in Diablo 4, which are not very micro, they're kind of macro transactions. I don't know.
It's part of the thing that the real love-hate relationship I've got going with Diablo 4 is exactly what you're talking about, the quote-unquote macro transactions. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's so many looks that you're only going to get from buying them. Like, it would be one thing if you bought them or you could get them some other way.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be as put out. And I think it's a shame because, I mean, I was talking to Joe about this just before we did the pre-show about how I'm a bit, I don't know if it's because I'm a contrary person or what, but as more people are trying out alternatives to Diablo and talking about other games, I'm getting more into Diablo 4 than I have been in a long time. I mean, I haven't. Season 3 has been, for me, the best season. I've gotten a character to 100 for the first time.
Wow.
I've been playing this game since it came out, and I, instead of getting any character to max level, I have like 20 characters, not 20, but like close to at least 10, that we were like at various stages from level 85 on down. And this season was compelling enough to me that I started a new character, went through the entire campaign experience again before I even started the seasonal content, and got to 100, I think, yesterday night. Yeah, it was yesterday night. I took Saturday off, or I would have been there on Sunday, but I didn't do it. And I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. I want to play more of it. I want to go see like Uber Lilith and Uber, you know, Uber Duriel and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And part of it is simply that I've been playing around with builds and just having a lot of fun. And part of it is also the fact that every time somebody talks to me about a competitor, there's two kinds of people. One who's just genuinely excited for the competitive game, in which case, more power to you. I'm glad you found something you like. We should all get to play games we like. There's a reason I'm still playing Baldur's Gate. No one game does everything for anybody, and I want there to be options for people. That's great. But a lot of people, it's less about the game and more about how, you know, they want Blizzard to fail for one reason or another. Because, you know, they're evil, because they've done this or that. And I'm sitting going, I mean, I'm not disputing that Blizzard has done evil things. I mean, we have the revelations of the last couple of years. We know that they're a big company, and they lay their people off, and they aren't necessarily run by people who have the their workers or the industry's best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
all, but that's fair of any game. Like, very few game companies can actually stand that test. If we're gonna just react based on how quote unquote evil they are, I mean, I'd never buy a Ubisoft game again. I sure as heck wouldn't buy anything from EA. EA's got some real horror stories, man. I mean, it just, I don't know that I'm never going to buy a Mass Effect game again when the new one comes out. I don't know. And you do have to make your own decisions on that, and I'm not trying to say you should. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with the game, but where the game is actually responsible for a lot of my discontent is their microtransactions, and I really feel like those were imposed.
Hmm.
Like, the transactions game are much better than, say, Diablo Immortal. Much, much better. But being much better than a chest wound is still not necessarily great. I definitely feel like there's just the amount of time and effort was sent in putting in these skins, and the only way to access them is money.
Mm.
And that, to me, is a problem. It's one thing if these skins exist and you have another way to get the thing. For of all people, Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you could buy the things, or you could earn stuff in-game to get them. And to me, that's a much better system.
Both systems have their merit. I'm not above spending money on skins in a game. I mean, I'm not going to go back and try to calculate how much I've spent on League of Legends skins over the years. But the difference is, like, you pay a premium price for this game. And I understand that, like, you have to have monetization to keep a game alive. There's a certain level of it, but the pricing on it and what they are, with no other alternative, like you said, to get these skins or to get anything new, really, that's a lot. I'm oversimplifying it, right?
But we understand the concept, though.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
One thing about it is that they added very few transmog looks to the base game without purchases, mm-hmm. but there's a new exciting transmog for every class every week in the Diablo store.
Yep.
It's nonstop on cool new armor.
Yeah, and that's
stuff that's gone that you can't even get anymore. That's not even on the store.
Yeah, I assume
they'll rotate it, but they spend so much time creating these cool things, and in the meantime, in the game itself, I've collected every look there is to collect. Not every look, but I've collected
pretty close
a whole lot
it.
Of looks. Yeah. Pretty close. And, you know, I really enjoy the transmog game, if you didn't realize that. And it just feels like there's nothing more to find in-game, and my only option is to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, that's the part that I was kind of getting to, is that, like, that's the other side of it, too, right? Like, the constant development and then push for the new stuff going into the store, which again, you know, if there were other things being done for that, maybe, you know, less frequently or whatever, even if there was just another option, it wouldn't feel as bad. But even like League of Legends, like when they do their skins, they don't just push, you know, every week there's a new skin for every character class. When they push a new one, it's just there and it's there forever. And there's other ways that you can earn it. Like there's things that you get that you can earn those skins without paying a red cent for it. They give you options to obtain them. Now they do. They didn't before, but now they do. Or other games that have sort of like that incentive, but it's just constant. It is absolutely just beating you down with, we have something new this week. Next week, we're going to have something new. The week after that, we're going to have something new. And they're just going to keep cycling it and trying to direct you to it. And I understand needing to make money to keep to keep production on the game going, but maybe make a game that people want to play and then want to spend money, you know, as a result of playing your game. And I know this might be a weird concept.
But I mean, the thing is Diablo is a game that's got a lot of potential for people to want to play it. I'm playing it. And I'm difficult to get to play anything. I'm a stubborn, grouchy old guy. But it's like, one of the things I noticed when I was leveling up was that if you're doing the season journey, they have three tiers. They have the free tier, which is almost nothing. You get almost nothing for doing it.
You get
the ashes that you can use to ramp up your season journey powers type things, the urns and all that. And then you get like a few, like there's a couple of items that you get, but otherwise it's basically just that.
You get kind of a single cosmetic armor set, which is not.
No, but you don't get like that you don't get that from the season this season. You get that.
You get it on the battle pass. There is one set of armor on the battle pass that you get for free. And then there are two sets that are for paid. They're one of them's a variant on the other. So it's like one set, but there are two cosmetic variants of it.
You mean like the archivist or the, you know, artisan type stuff? Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't really think of them as sets, but yeah, I get where you're going with it.
It's a little match set. Like the free sets they're like casual wear, not like,
yeah, literally they're like a
beastly armor.
It's like, here's my shirt. Yeah. It's like, yeah, here's my other shirt.
It is. You know? It's kind of cool to have those casual looks, but it's also like, okay, I'm not going to be fighting demons in this, am I? Though I say that as a necromancer, and we make weird fashion choices all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I just remember like when I wanted to get the transmog looks for this season, it's like you have to pay in addition to you know, everything else you're going to do, like buy the game. And, you know, you then have to, either you can go buy transmog looks directly, or you have to pay, like, I think it's like $10, but I can't remember exactly how much. You have to pay like a certain amount of money just to get the transmogs for the season. And I don't know, man. There's something about it that is harshing my buzz. And I otherwise would be having a great time. I've actually played like several other ARPGs recently, including like the ones that are really popular. Like I got to finally download and play some Lost Epoch, and I like Diablo 4 better. It's a nice combination of complexity and simplicity. I get lost in Lost Epoch, and I'm sure that, you know, if I sat down and played it for like a week, I'd be totally on board and I'd get what's popular about it. But it's like, it's got the same problem Diablo 2 did, where after a while you're like, there's just so much stuff. And it's worse because it's like you start as one class, and then out of the five or so starting classes, each of them has three like subclasses when you get to a certain point. So the amount of class combinations you can have is really high. There's a ton of different ones you can have. And then you, of course, buy talents and stuff on top of it. None of this has anything to do with what we're talking about. I'm just pointing out that other games are good and they don't do this. And I think that that's going to be an advantage that'll beat what might otherwise be a better game experience. Like I've said it before, and I think I'll probably have to say it in a couple thousand more times, but I really feel like the first 50 levels of Diablo 4 are immaculate.
Yes.
But once you get out of the campaign, then it's like, okay, now you will be grinding from 50 to 100, and it's much faster now, so it's not nearly as painful, and there's still cool side quests to do, and there's still interesting stuff out there, and I love the kill all the robots bits. Like every time you find yourself going to kill another, the season quest is great, but you get to a certain point, And you realize, not only am I on a treadmill, I'm on a treadmill where if I want to get the stuff I want the most from the treadmill, I have to pay them for the battle pass and still play the treadmill. I don't just get the item.
That's the annoying thing about battle passes in the first place. It's like, okay, I'm going to give you an amount of money up front, and the basic premium battle pass for Diablo 4 is $10. So it's an amount of money, but it's not too terrible. So I pay my $10. I don't just get the thing. I don't just get what I want. I don't just get the rewards. I pay the $10, and I also have to put in a pretty significant amount of playtime. I think the premium battle pass, you can completely play through it without a lot of hassle, without hitting level 100, without having to like farm Uber Lilith and Uber Duriel and get the perfect gear. I think it's very doable in the 3 month period that these seasons have lasted. I have to pay them money, and then I gotta work for it.
Yeah, it's like, not enough that I'm going to do this stuff, I also then have to pay you to let me do this stuff for a reason. In this case, or in some cases, I will say this for it. The one thing I do like is that if you've done the whole season journey without paying for it, and then you're basically someone that you've known for years sends you money for Blizzard. Like, I don't know why they did that, but I was like, okay, I've got like $20 in my Blizzard account now. What do I do with it? I'm like, I'm going to be buying transmog looks, apparently. So I bought the season thing because I'd already completed it. So I immediately got all the looks. And that was fine, except that I can't imagine doing that if someone else hadn't just sent me the money. You know, like spending my own money on this, especially when stuff's tight and I'm trying to do stuff with it. You know, it's kind of crazy. You know, I don't know. But I do like the idea they're going to discount stuff. I would like it if they brought back all the stuff that they don't currently have on the store and put that stuff up discounted.
Like, honestly, stop with the FOMO store style and just have a real store if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I would like that, yeah.
One thing they could take from World of Warcraft is World of Warcraft has been putting up looks for sale, you know, for real money in the shop. And then a few months later, sometimes they show up in the trading post. So it's like there's this kind of exclusivity period where there's something cool and new that you can only buy for real money, but then it filters its way down a few months later into the trading post, and then anyone can just, you know, log in, play the game, get the cool look that you used to have to pay money for. So there's an in-game method, even if you can't get it, like, first thing, I'm the first person with this transmog. It's like, nah, I don't really care if I'm
if
the
you
first
want
person.
It, yeah, if you want it that badly, then you'll spend the money. And if you're willing to wait to not spend the money, you can have it, but just not as soon. I think that's a really good system. I think the trading post in general would be a good thing for Diablo 4 to steal. Like, imagine if every month is not even part of the season, just every month.
Oh my God. I would be so into that.
And it could be stuff like, you know, looks that we've already had, but not used. Maybe stuff from like previous Diablos. Like, imagine being able to get some of your tier sets from Diablo 3.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's, you know, or even some of the looks from Diablo Immortal. Diablo Immortal has some pretty cool looks. I feel like we've covered this, though, unless either of you have anything else to say on the subject.
No. Now I really want a trading post in Diablo 4, like, super wanted.
Joe?
Nope.
Alrighty, the next thing, then, is, I don't know if you guys saw this one. I only saw it fairly recently, because it was posted today. But they're doing some dungeon changes in Dragonflight for Season 4.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Basically, if you look at the way things are right now, you've got normal, heroic, then mythic zero, and then you've got all the timed runs that go from mythic 1 to mythic 20. It looks like in season 4, which is for 11.0 and onward, You're going to have normal dungeons, same as they are right now.
No, that's not going to be 11.0. That's going to be,
no,
probably
but
in the next month or two.
I'm just saying, from then on and into 11.0. Normal, mm-hmm. normal is the same as it is. Heroic, however, is going up in difficulty to what is currently Mythic Zero. And it will, heroic dungeons will give you Mythic Zero level gear. The gear that is Mythic Zero right now will be heroic dungeon gear. You still queue for them the same way you do now, but I think they'll be slightly harder and they'll have better gear. Then what is currently going to be Mythic 1 and up is going, Mythic 1 is going to be what is Mythic 10 right now.
It's going to be Mythic 8 to 10 in that range of as far as gear.
And then it goes up to Mythic 10, and they don't say if there's anything past Mythic 10 in this chart that they have. But that's the basic progression in the chart that they have. Right now with Mythic, Mythic Dungeons, use a timer. So essentially, if there's no new Mega Dungeon, there's no place for people to gear up who don't want to do a timed run. Some people don't like to do timed runs. So they just want to, they don't mind difficulty being high. They don't mind the stuff being hard, but the timer is not something they like because it tends to, some people don't like that gameplay style. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, some people don't like that, but the Mythic Zero, and just for clarity's sake, the tuning and rewards for the difficulty are going to be the equivalent of a plus 10 dungeon with affixes in the current system. There are no timers, no affixes, or limitations on changing specialization or talents while in the Mythic Zero dungeons, just like it is now. Because once you start a key or Mythic key, a Mythic plus, or as my guild calls it, Bidoofs, you can't change anything. You can't change your thing unless you zone out. They wanted to, they wanted to create a mega dungeon like difficulty for this experience to sort of fill that gap.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And Mythic Zero will still be on a weekly lockout during this model as well.
Yeah. So, but you can still get gear that's equivalent to what you currently get in Mythic Zero just by doing heroics. So it's also a way to basically to acknowledge we are in the last phase of this expansion. We're doing whatever they call faded dungeons eventually. We're doing those kind of raids. And so we've rebalanced dungeons so that you can get better gear quicker. So you can be closer to the end game without necessarily doing stuff like the plus or raiding, which I think is a good move, quite frankly. I think it's a decent idea.
As somebody who's been leveling almost primarily through dungeons for all of my characters recently, I like this change.
It's an interesting change. One of the problems with normal and heroic dungeons is that they burn out pretty quickly. You get a week into the expansion and not a lot of people are running normals anymore. Then a couple of weeks and not a lot of people are running heroics anymore because, the gear, the upgrade, the amount to which you're getting upgrade in those tasks diminishes very quickly. It doesn't scale very well as you scale and level, and your only option is to jump in and do higher and higher levels of Mythic Plus. And as y'all have said, not everyone wants to do content with a timer. Not everyone wants to make that jump in difficulty. So, but also it means that your heroic dungeons have a very short shelf life. And I think anything you can do to increase how often we're doing heroics is a good thing. Back in the day, all you did was run heroics, and now it's kind of all you do is run Mythic Plus. I think it's good. Anything we can do to make heroics more useful, more widely played, so you have an alternative to just chain running Mythic Plus, or if you have something you can do, even if you don't enjoy Mythic Plus.
Yeah, and I think that's a worthwhile goal. I do get why people like Mythic Plus, and I do think they can be fun, but I'm not always in the mood to bang my head against the timer. Because whenever I'm rushed at something, I feel like I start making mistakes. It makes me more stressed out, and then I make more mistakes, and I get more stressed out, and it's not a great feedback loop in my case. Some people are great for it, though.
Yeah, I feel like Mythic Plus kind of stresses me out. The timer aspect stresses me out, not being able to, take my time and go for it kind of stresses me out, and there's not really an alternative. You're running Mythic Plus or you're just not running anything.
Yeah. And also I will say this, I'm of the old school, like the old days of Blackrock Depths where you killed everything. There was none of this, we're going to skip around this poll. No, you killed everything. Because if you didn't, you knew full well somebody was going to back up into a pack or send their pet at the wrong pack or whatever. And so I've in my head, I'm constantly going, but we have to kill them. We can't leave them behind us. You can never leave anything behind you. So, you know, I appreciate the coming of dungeons where I can get people to just kill everything, because that way we won't have to worry about running into them. But yeah, it's a pretty substantial post they've got up. It covers all the various item levels and where they will drop and how it will work in season 3 and how it will work in season 4. And the great vault for it and so forth. There's a lot of interesting stuff in this post. So you can go and see it for yourself. It's on the Blizzard site. And I think that pretty much covers most of what we're going to talk about.
Go ahead.
You had something.
There are two more things that I added to your email, which is...
Oh, they're right down there. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them is Cataclysm Classic. The beta went live last week. It is a closed beta right now, but... watch your email for an invite. If you want an invite, you should go and sign up on the Cataclysm website. It's you sign up, you get a chance of getting an invite. And Cataclysm Classic is something I just did not see coming.
I don't think any of us did.
I remember the announcement at BlizzCon, and we were all kind of like just looking at going, what? I guess they did it. They finally did it. Okay.
They did it. Those crazy guys did it. Yeah, because it's, you know, Classic was kind of originally came about as a backlash against Cataclysm and all of the changes Modern WoW has made to the original game. Classic has always been the only way you could go back and see the world pre-Deathwing. And now Classic is going to be post-Deathwing? I mean, we're still going to have Classic era servers, which are pure straight vanilla WoW. But, you know, this is interesting. It's interesting that they're going all the way. We're going all the way to Cataclysm, baby. And it's also interesting because does this mean they're just going to keep doing expansions until they catch up with Modern WoW? Is that what's going to happen here? It's a little wild. Are either of y'all planning on playing Cataclysm Classic?
Nope. Not even a chance. Like, don't get me wrong, the Season of the Discovery had me interested in playing Classic, mm-hmm. but like... I don't have time to really do that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't entice me nearly enough as, again, like I'm leveling alts and I'm finding that really, really enjoyable right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if I'm not doing that, I have other games that I could be playing. This is mm-hmm. just this. And it's just my opinion. But like part of it also, I have no desire to play Cataclysm Classic on principle because mm-hmm. I don't think it should exist. And this is... maybe my soapboxy thing, and I know people are going to have their own opinions on it. That's fine. This is mine. The whole point of Classic, when they initially announced it and talked about it and did their pressers and brought the team on, you're right. Mm-hmm. It when it was originally created, when it wasn't Blizzard, when it was just servers being run privately, it was because people didn't want to play the new world. They didn't want to play Cataclysm. They didn't want to play with the new talent systems that were in place and things like that. Then they brought it in-house and they reached that agreement, which was really cool. And don't get me wrong, I thought that was really nice. But they even said that it was about preserving that legacy to a little extent, or to a little bit, to a certain extent, and having, you know, that game live on where, you know, you can't have that version of the game anymore. It does not exist anymore. But Classic allowed the game up to Cataclysm to exist again. And then... Cataclysm hits and it's a completely different thing. And like the fact that they're doing Cataclysm Classic, the only way in my brain that it makes sense is if now we're going to get an announcement that they're doing divergent programming, where they're going to do development for a game that essentially runs in parallel to WoW fully, not the little bits and pieces. I'm not trying to undermine the work that they do on Classic. Please do not take it as such. Those of you listening at home, but taking the minor changes that they've done, were the things that they've put in that really don't change, you know, a core bit of the game. But I feel like they're kind of moving towards that, especially with the Seasons of Discovery, and just turn it into basically WoW 2. Because there's only so many things they can do. Like having MoP Classic could be, you know, I'm sure people will enjoy that. But you can also just run through in quests and play through Mist of Pandaria on live. If you want to do the raiding and stuff like that, okay, I can understand that and having that option and doing the classic guild stuff. But it's just, I don't know, like having Kata Classic sort of ruins the idea of having Classic at all for me. So I will not touch it. That's just where I'm at.
I think it's interesting that before BlizzCon, everyone was kind of wondering, what's Blizzard going to do with Classic? What are they going to do with Classic? Are they going to actually go with Cataclysm? Are they really going to do it? Or are they going to make some kind of divergent game, like you said, Joe? And it's like, are they going to do one? Are they going to do the other? What, you know, kind of all these debates on what direction Blizzard would take. And then we got to BlizzCon, and it's like, we're doing both. We're releasing Cataclysm Classic, and we're releasing Season of Discovery, which Season of Discovery is a version of Vanilla WoW that's a little different, with kind of secrets hidden around the world, with raids that are revamped versions of old dungeons, and we actually just found out that they are planning to have new post-60 content. They kind of mentioned this as a tiny little sentence aside in a recent post, and so it's interesting. They're giving us Cataclysm, but they're also doing the seasonal thing that is divergent content. They're kind of, it feels like they're kind of covering all their bases here. So, and
plus, we haven't even mentioned the hardcore mode.
Yeah.
Which is WoW Classic again. It's just WoW Classic hardcore mode. And it's basically, I think it's, you can be either Classic Era or the other kind. You can just be in any Classic game. You can just click on hardcore mode and go be hardcore. And that's interesting because WoW never had that.
Hardcore is specific servers. It's not like a checkbox. It's their specific hardcore servers.
But does it have everyone? Service? Is it just Classic Era, or is it also like right now? It'd be Wrath.
I think it's just Classic Era. I think it's just Classic Era.
Okay. So it's still like, it's interesting that they come up with new different ways to play the original WoW. They keep doing this. That was all I had.
But yeah, regardless, we'll see what the future holds after Cataclysm Classic goes live. I mean, I don't even know if I want to call it Cataclysm Classic. It just feels like Cataclysm 2.0.
In some ways, I kind of want to check out Cataclysm Classic because Cataclysm kind of broke me of my Warcraft habit originally because it came out and everything was so different and my class was so different and I couldn't do it. I couldn't make that transition, and I quit the game for the entire expansion. I came back in Mists, which Mists was a good expansion. But, you know, so I missed that, and I feel like with the time since then, I could go back and have a different perspective on that, because the classes have changed over the years. They've changed a lot over the years. You know, even from Shadowlands to now, classes have changed a lot. So I feel like if I went back, I would appreciate it in a new and different way. But
it's also not the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the same. But one of the things about WoW Classic in the first place, and we talked about this way back when Classic was a newer thing, is that you can't go back to Vanilla WoW. You can't. There's no way to go back to Vanilla WoW. There's no way to go back to that experience where you're first entering Azeroth, making your first character, flying that griffin from Stormwind to Ironforge for the first time, covering all of that distance, looking at what's below you, and just being amazed at this huge world you're in. You can't go back because it's been 20 years. You are a different person with different experiences, different knowledge, different friends. A lot of my memories of old Warcraft, of Burning Crusade, of Vanilla, of Wrath of the Lich King, a lot of those memories are tied to the friends that I played with and the crazy things we did or tried to do or died a lot doing. But you can't go back to that. However, you can go back and replay things with a new perspective. And I think if I found the time to play Cataclysm, that's what would be interesting. It's not trying to remake the Cataclysm experience, which wasn't great for me at the time. It would be checking out this content as the me I am now, as opposed to the frustrated me I was then, dealing with not being able to wrangle with the changes that had been made to my class, dealing with a guild that was in the middle of breaking up, and just not having a good time. So it would be, I think it could be interesting to go back, But knowing you can't go back to Cataclysm any more than you can go back to Vanilla. But you can try new things. It's a new thing from a different perspective.
I'm going to bring up the Overwatch thing now because I want to know this Cowboy Bebop crossover. So Overwatch 2 is having a Cowboy Bebop crossover, which I found out today when reading this email.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to say, what? And now, yeah. You can explain it to me.
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of skins. So there's 4 brand new legendary skins that tip their hats to Cowboy Bebop. They actually did a Cowboy Bebop style introduction animated trailer for it when they announced it a few, I think like a week ago at this point, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you have Cassidy, who has a Spike Spiegel outfit, complete with the hair and the Sudsucker neo-futuristic suit. You have Faye as is the outfit for Ash. Sombra is Ed, which is a weird choice for me. Mauga is Jet, which is perfectly fine. The one that they don't talk about, but they showed in the trailer, is that the lovely little hamster Wrecking Ball is Ayn. They talk about it a little bit, but they don't show you it. But the part that they missed on it is it still looks like Wrecking Ball. It does not look like Ayn. It should be a corgi popping out of it, not a hamster, if you're going to do this. Mm. You got 4 out of 5 like really good skins here. So the bounty hunting crew, you know, it's part of I can't even talk now. There's a battle pass with it that's going to be that gives you access to it as well. You can then have to complete 12 event challenges and you unlock the Wrecking Ball legendary skin. I think somebody said, they might have been Corey in chat, in order to buy all the content and skins to get enough credit for it, it's going to cost you like 76 Canadian, which is about $56 US if you wanted to buy all the skins. And Lord help me, I want to buy all the skins. Because I am a huge, 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 huge Cowboy Bebop stan. And it's going on from now until March 25th that you have the option to go ahead and pick those up.
And also, Liz, you mentioned that there's a Porsche crossover that was just announced. Did we know anything about that?
Yes, it's like it's a diva skin, I believe, where her mech is has a kind of Porsche skin, which, okay, I'm not sure who the target audience for this is. I mean, is this a demographic we're talking to? But anyway, the Porsche crossover is coming in season 10, which I believe is probably coming next month. I think that's going to be a thing in April, so it's not here, but they did just announce it, and it just felt like a lot of events got announced last week, a lot of crossovers. It feels like we're heavy on crossovers right now. Is this just going to be what Overwatch is? It's we're going to have these crossover skin advertisements.
Well, it's weird because I've seen other current games doing it. Modern Warfare was doing something similar the other day. I can't remember what it was, but I remember seeing it going, that's weird. So, yeah, it does seem to be something that's just happening.
I mean, and it's going to keep happening. Like, crossovers are sort of where we're at now with, maybe it's more commentary. Maybe I'm just getting curmudgeonly and older. It's this whole crossovers are sort of where we're at in the pop culture area of things. Mm. Where having, like, again, Legos and Fortnite now. Fortnite is now having a myth and legends thing with Greek gods. And Fortnite sort of started a bunch of popularity of the new resurgence of crossovers. Not that it didn't exist beforehand. Destiny has a crossover with Ghostbusters. I don't know if you've seen that, where, like, I think you had a Sparrow that is the, like, equivalent of the Ecto-1 and, like, a whole bunch of other stuff. Like,
oh, what was the game? There was a game that had, like, one of those mobile dungeon-y games had a Monster Hunters crossover.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that. So, yeah, it's getting kind of weird out there, guys.
I mean, it's just sort of the nature of the game, which is fine. Like, it's not a big deal, but it is something we're probably going to see a lot more frequently, especially as game developers are trying to figure out how to entice people to spend more money. And again, this concept of just make a game that people want to play and they'll spend money in your shop eludes some of them. But then again, I can't really say anything because I am definitely one of those people that is like, oh, $56 isn't that much. I could buy all those skins right now for Overwatch and have like just my favorite skins for those characters that I will never change off of. Like I am a hypocrite in that regard. I will freely admit that.
I don't have anything else to say on this one. I just wanted to know about the Porsche thing and the Bebop skins, because the Bebop skins in particular, I needed to explain. I thought Liz was going to say something there, but she didn't. So I guess we'll move on to some questions now. If we've got a bunch of ways you can send us your questions. You can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. I did steal one from Lore Watch this week, but it was a question that I felt like could have been asked here, and it was asked about an episode we already did.
I mean, to be fair, we had a no offense to the people sending in questions. I love you, and we'll get back to it. But we just had our What If episode of Lore Watch. There was going to be a bit before we got to the questions.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to use our Discord, you can go to the two channels we have there. One's for everybody, because you know everybody's important to us, and we love you all very, very much. Much as you know, Cookie Monster loves cookies. You can use that one. That's just the Q&A podcast questions channel. Then there's the Patreon Q&A podcast questions channel. Think of that as the Nelson Rockefeller supported the show part of the show. It's similar to that. If you remember old PBS, why am I on an old PBS kick? I don't know the answer to that question. Regardless, I'm going to go with this one from Azurloon first because I find it amusing. Assuming everything else remained the same, would you still be playing WoW if it presented in one of the following art styles? 1, Studio Ghibli. 2, Secret of Kells. 3, Sin City. 4, Minecraft. 5, Pointillism. 6, Stop Motion and or Claymation. 7, Star Blazers. That's Battleship Yamato for you purists. and of course, as many others as you care to explore. Thanks as always. So, yeah, Liz, any of that, or you have your own art style you think would be cool, or any of those interest you, or what?
Yes. Pointillism, I'm thinking that was the one that caught in my head and stuck there, because pointillism is kind of, it's designed as an art style to be viewed from afar. So it's like when you're up close to the image, you see a bunch of dots. But when you back away, your eyes turn it into an image. That sounds like it would just be very confusing to sit in front of my screen and try to interpret these dots that are meant for me to be standing across the room. I think it'd be hard to replicate on a monitor.
Agreed.
Even those other art styles.
I was going to say, I agree with you. All those shout outs to referencing Surratt.
Any of those other art styles I'm there for, I would 1000% play a Studio Ghibli style. Wow. That would be super fun. That'd be super neat.
I would just be amazed at all the flying castles we were going to.
Yeah, I think the Studio Ghibli stuff would be really cool. I will never touch a Sin City style game. I think we had a like burst of it a while ago with like black and white with the splashes of color. If I wanted to do that, I'll play Super Hot, which, you know, all of the bad guys are bright red against a white monochrome background ish type thing. I think that would make it very inaccessible to a lot of people who have trouble already with like monochrome depth of perception. The other stuff I'm sort of really in for, like if you could give me a claymation style of it, I'd be all about it. I would fear for the people doing that because I know what goes into doing claymation style animation, because I actually, you know, wanted to do that at one point in my life. Star Blazers would be absolutely wild, but I mean, at that point, you're just looking at like Honkai Railroad or whatever the new one is, which is essentially that, or Phantasy Star Online, which is essentially that same type of art style right now. Minecraft technically already does a WoW type thing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, they get their Minecraft dungeon-y type thing.
They do. So Minecraft Dungeons, but that's more of a almost like Diablo-ish thing. But there are content creators that create mod packs that are essentially Minecraft Adventures that do exactly the same thing. Or MSPs, Minecraft mod packs, essentially, that import things like World of Warcraft, like with races and classes and things like that into it, as well as doing things like dungeons and towers and other stuff. So, like, it's already there. If you wanted to go do that, you can do that. I don't know what other style I would really go for, except for maybe extreme cell shading. I would be okay
with Wind Waker.
Yeah. Like we go with the Wind Waker.
Warcraft Wind Waker.
Yeah. We go with Wind Waker, or we go with, why can't I think of it now because I was derailed, Borderlands style. Right. So like I could be in for something like that as well, because I do like how that looks. But yeah. All right. Matt, you.
My two thoughts are, first off, technically we have pointillism right now, because pointillism is pretty much what any game played on a monitor is using. Like, there's pixels. The pixel width and depth is the point where you have this many dots to render these things. If you could zoom in close enough, you would be able to see the dots. It's just that the games don't permit you to do that. But yeah, this is pointillism. My World of Warcraft right now is pointillism. I know that was more of a reference to the actual art movement, but nonetheless, pointillism kind of became part of how we represent images. So we already have. As all this other stuff, I would like to see a Ray Harryhausen style, not claymation, but stop motion. Like the classic King Kong from the 30s.
I just rewatched Sinbad.
Yeah, or like the Sinbad, you know, the skeleton scene. That skeleton scene is legit creepy.
It is still up there.
Yeah, and you know, Harryhausen's last hurrah, the original Wrath of the Titans. Sure, there was like a lot of cheese in that movie, and I think that's one of the reasons you like watching it. I mean, there's a robot owl, come on. But at the same time, some of the stop motion on the Kraken and other stuff was legit good. Leagues ahead of what they could do without stop motion at the time. And I would totally be down to play a little of that. Since they mentioned Secret of Kells, I'm going to say Banner Saga. You guys seen that game?
Yep, played it.
Banner Saga would make an amazing, like that kind of style. The thing about that is I think it would work better for Diablo than WoW, because Banner Saga is less 3D and more 2D. So I'd say 2.5. In much the same way that Diablo is, because it's an isometric style game. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that I could think of, but I'm going to keep it to those two.
I was going to say, the other thing that I really do like that's out there that I don't think gets really nearly enough attention is the hand-painted art style stuff that Guild Wars 2 does, which is a really, really cool art style.
Or we could go with the classic Dragon's Lair look.
Mm-hmm.
From the you know, Laserdisc game, where you didn't really play so much as you,
quick time,
you know, constantly. Yeah, it was basically quick time events before we had quick time. So yeah, there's a lot of possibilities, but I'm going to try to get something else in here because we're getting close to the end. We got a lot more questions than I was expecting, actually. This one's from Mementh. What D&D type monster should be added to Warcraft that would make you either giggle from the silly or recoil in horror?
Mimics. Only mimics. Give me mimics. Not in WoW.
Oh, I always thought we had like at least one chest that would.
We never had actual, true, honest to goodness mimics. Give me mimics. Yeah.
That would be creepy. Liz?
I don't know. I read this question. I was thinking about it, and I don't have any ideas. Like, my first thought was like, well, the classic kind of, one of the classic monsters is the Beholder, but I'm like, wait, those are already in WoW. Mm-hmm. You have things just like Beholders in WoW. So I don't have any good ones here.
A Bulette would be good too. Little land shark action.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a land shark. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing?
It's a quadrupedal land shark that is absolutely voracious, like a giant great white shark. It is a classic monster that doesn't get used nearly enough. And when it was included in Baldur's Gate 3, I was giddy. Like, literally giggling when I got to fight one. I was like, yee, they remembered it exists. It was great.
Matt. I mean, I think it would be cool if we got, like, multicolored dragons that organized in these... Oh, sorry. Wait a minute. Never mind. I have a few ideas. Like, one of them is gelatinous cubes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, do you hate the players? Like, how much do you hate the players? Do you want to do a gear reset with in a different way?
Oh, I mean, at that point, we're just going to do some rust monster. Yeah. There it is. Yeah.
let's just actually have an event
to be fair,
the beginning of the expansion where the players fight a rust monster, and by the end, all your gear is garbage.
To be fair,
you have to switch up.
It does look an awful lot like a Zerg.
Yeah. Yeah. You could use a Zergling type model for it. You could even just make it the Zergling and just have the Zergling also be a Rust monster. It never came up in StarCraft because Zergs don't usually get into hand-to-hand fights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, usually people are shooting at them and then they run up and eat them. So, yeah. But, yeah, I definitely think Rust monster is going to be what I go with. Rust monster would be great and horrible.
We can go with, what about Flumps? We can go with Flumps.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. What, you want a flump or a flail? I broke out the monster manual, by the way.
Yeah, I figured you did.
We already have owlbears.
Flumps aren't scary.
No, but the other thing was like giggle or like be delighted by.
I'm not giggling or delighted by flumps either. Flumps are a bit of history, man. I have seen some flumping things. I like flumps. Never liked flumps. But yeah, so yeah, I think that basically Joe's going to start reading from the monster manual if we don't get moving. So
yeah, I mean, who remembers that the gas spore exists? Wow, it's related to the beholders. I forgot about that, but it is definitely not. It's got one eye in the middle. Anyway,
you know what? The one that keeps getting me is that in Warcraft, World of Warcraft, there are imps called Grells,
mm-hmm.
but in D&D, the Grell is a giant armored octopus with a beak that walks around on giraffe style tentacles. It's nothing like, it's a real serious freaky monster. Its brain is decentralized throughout its entire body. So you can't crit it. There's no way to critically hit it. It's the grill is a terrifying foe at low levels.
You know what? I think the one that we didn't answer and we should have in here is giant space hamster.
Oh, we have giant space hamsters in WoW.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. They're just called Pandaren.
No, I mean one that's not sentient. One that's actually like a...
Well, first off, giant space hamsters are definitely sapient beings. I will hear none of this.
No, I mean not bipedal like race of playable ones. I want them to be giant fluffy balls of joy.
I think that hamsters are best when they're not. My hamster was a vicious sociopath.
Oh, they're absolutely vicious.
But anyway. Joe wants space hamsters. I want rust monsters. Liz didn't really have anything she wanted because the one thing that they actually already have, the beholders.
Red says we can bring Zorns into it, and I'm here for that as well.
My problem there is that Zorn to me is a Marvel character.
I would be interested in seeing a mimic. I mean, playing Dungeons & Dragons, I have seen what happens when you put just like one mimic in front of players.
You put like multiple mimics in front of our Candlekeep game, and my God.
Hey, I put one mimic in front of you, and there were a couple of pieces of sentient furniture and some flying swords. And just all of a sudden, you think every piece of furniture is going to kill you. I don't know why, but there it is.
Because a chair almost killed me.
Yeah, that was it. My character was completely calm the whole time. It's just like, you know, because I was a monk with no emotions. Regardless, whilst Liz is coming up with deviltry involving mimics for our future, again, we're going to have Joe do a thing, and then I'm going to do a thing, and then we're going to leave.
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your questions answered on our podcast with a Q, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you to Liz again for getting us all afraid of mimics again, just like we were then. She's brought it all back.
Sorry.
Thank you to Corey for wanting to know why we don't have duck mounts yet. Yes, Blizzard, why don't we have duck mounts? And thanks to all of you for being here and narrowly escaping my long duck rant. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. The subject line, podcast of Blizzard Watch, your notes for the show, or you can go to use our Discord. We've got the Q and podcast questions channel for everybody, and the Patreon Q and podcast questions channel for folks who, you know, basically want to make a monthly microtransaction to get us to read their questions more often. We're not proud. We'll do it. You want to think we do it? We'll do it. Well, we will absolutely do it. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here. Yeah, really, give us duck mounts.